Welcome to the TNT EdTech Podcast. We know tech. We are your hosts.
I'm Scott, the teacher.
And I'm Matthew, the tech coach. Welcome, everyone, to the TNT EdTech Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Nunes, with
Matthew Ketchum.
And today, we're going to be talking about some EdTech news and then talk about how to increase student engagement no matter what learning and teaching model you're using at your site or may transition to, unless they invent a completely new one that we're totally not ready for. And anything's possible right now in the pandemic, wouldn't you say, Matthew?
Yeah, I who knows? I mean, by the time school starts next year, I'm sure there's the Nunes engagement strategy.
Yes, you heard it here first, folks. And we want to thank everyone for chiming in. And just as a reminder, if you want to participate in the chat, which we strongly encourage, make sure that you enable the StreamYard app. So STREAM and then Yard, just like, you know, the measurement or the yard you may have in front of a house. And let's get right into the news. Some things I wanted to talk about, Matthew. Shout out to a post that's getting a lot of traction as of late on Twitter. I posted something, just, you know, had me thinking. I've been helping some teachers and I thought, you know, what would you do if you had $300. Somebody just said, hey, I'm going to give you $300 to spend on your classroom. What would you spend it on? If that was you, Matthew, you know, roll back the clock to March of 2020. You got your zero period class. What would you buy and why?
Yeah. So I think on that list would be Microbits. One reason I really like that, it was easy way to engage the students and get them interested and started out with what a microcontroller is, what programming is, creating a physical computing type of project with it. And there is so much community lessons that are shared to align it with so many different subject areas so they can find an interest of theirs with using that product. And then I would really like to go next steps with the Raspberry Pi, and yes, where they can now do more of that design thinking and have a project idea or a challenge, you know, ideate on it, prototype it, test it out, get that feedback, go back with redesigns. And I think I would focus on those in the classroom.
Yeah, I think those are great. If you transported me back when I still had a classroom of my own, of course, you know, I love 3D printing. So one thing I didn't get around to doing was printing anatomy models. So I was
looking. Yeah, they came out so well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So this costs about 3 to 5 cents. And now, you know, it could increase based upon the density. This was super cheap PLA. I got on sale and now the prices have gone up significantly. So I couldn't print this for that cheap, but I could probably print it for 10 cents today if I didn't mess up, right? And it's not perfect by any means. Like, I don't know if the camera will pick it up. There we go. So it's not perfect there, right? But it would work. And models like this that are complete, like what I'm envisioning is like a complete torso model where you have the heart, the liver, kidney, intestines, all that stuff's jam-packed in there inside the ribs. A model like that is going to run you $1,100 to $1,200, but you could print one for about $75 to $100 max with some decent filament. It's going to take you some time. And then guess what? If you had a team of printers, team of kiddos, you could print one for each kid in your class.
But how that to be even involved as a student in the design phase of that, to the printing, to it being physically there? I mean, you're going to be very connected to that idea that you just printed. That's going to be a really great way to engage students.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, talk about hands-on learning, talk
Yes.
about bringing STEM in the classroom. And right now, if you're not face to face, you're in a hybrid model, or you're doing distance learning still, you could sh ship these, and then you could wait, you know, like 2 weeks or something, sanitize them, right? You know, have some kind of system to make sure that these items are good. You could do manipulatives, and those are super cheap. Like those little squares, even though they're on sale on Amazon right now, you could print your own and just save tons of money and really put it into the hands of the student. So I'd do something like that. I like your micro bits idea, especially with the push-up challenge. Shout
Sure.
out to myself on that. I crossed 10K, I think Saturday, maybe sometime this weekend.
Amazing.
And yeah, that was cool. So 10,000 push-ups since January 1st. I really surprised myself, and I saw that somebody was using a micro bit to count their push-ups, and I thought of you. I'm like, oh, if I had some micro bits, I would have to stop counting, or I could stop counting, and I could just listen to my tunes, and maybe I could crank out some more, because it really takes a lot of energy to keep track of those push-ups. Like, how many did I do? Did I get that right? And really being mindful and intentional with each one. Another thing I would do is I'd get some cheaper, like lavalier mics or mics that plug in, or Bluetooth mics for students. And if you remember, we had talked about doing those mini
Yeah,
sound booths.
that's right.
Yeah, so getting some of those, building your own, teaching students, and maybe providing materials could be an at-home STEM project where they take a cardboard box, you could provide it, or they could have it, and you just line it with some insular foam and put their Chromebook or their device right there in the middle, and it's nice and insulated, and it really breaks up that outside sound really well. It's pretty cost effective. If you buy the canvas boxes that you use for storage and put in the foam, I think we had it down to under 10 bucks.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was like 7 to 10 bucks. And you're right.
Yeah, okay,
You're
yeah.
right. And sometimes Amazon had like a pack of six of those canvas storage
Yes.
boxes. Yeah, no, that's a great idea, Scott.
Yeah, so that's what I'd be doing. So let us know in the comments. Hop on over to Twitter too. Let us know over there what you're thinking there. And another piece of EdTech news, and I guess it's just teacher news, really fill in for all those educators in Texas. So our hearts and prayers go out to all of them. We have many friends over there, so shout out to them. I'm thinking of Melissa Rathman, Claudio Zavala, Vernon Wright. You know, we've had many Texas educators on the show. Salee Clark, Jenny Long, Jamie Donnelly, the list goes on and on. And so we're really feeling it over here. And you know, I'm left wondering, you know, what can be done? I know it's supposed to go away, and so I'm just kind of ideating. So if you're from Texas, or you have any ideas how we can help our fellow Texan educators, let me know, because they have been more than generous, you know, towards us and the podcast, and just educators around the world. So, want to give back if possible. And I actually want to share, on the screen here, Matthew,
Yes.
this clip from Vernon Wright, our
Okay.
buddy here. So I'm going to make this a little bigger here.
Well,
So these are the local store shelves, right? It's like pandemic stuff over there. And I'm like, oh, I can't even give them money right now to go get stuff, right? Like generators or blankets. The stores are all sold out. So what do you do? So anyone that's listening, if you have some ideas, throw it in the chat. Let us know, because I would definitely love to help out. But it's hard when it's slim pickings, right?
yeah, so there a cold front, heating, electricity,
Yeah,
access, that
rolling blackouts. Their pipes are freezing for some educators. I'm hearing about a lot of educators staying warm in their cars, but how long can you do that for? You can't sleep in your car. I know a lot of people are like moving in with friends that have better situations. It's rough, and it's really the whole state. Texas is huge.
it's like
So, and in places like Houston, they're definitely not used to getting stuff like that. And I think this is record breaking, like all time lows and amount of snow. And I heard something like it hasn't snowed there in Houston since the 1800s, like late 1800s. So they're just not used to it. So there's no infrastructure. I saw from an ed tech company today, or not ed tech company. It was a filament company down in Texas, actually where I got that pink filament from for the heart. They said, hey, their orders are delayed because of all the shipping issues, right? The roads are so icy. They had that huge pileup, and condolences to anyone affected by any of those pileups too. You know, busy week or so for Texans. So hang in there, all you Texas educators. You're amazing. You all have big hearts, and let us know if the podcast can help out in any way. But you have some news you wanted to share too that I think is pretty cool and relevant to a lot of educators out there.
Definitely thank you for sharing and that support for our fellow educators in Texas, Scott.
Yeah,
that's very much needed. So today was involved in a Schoology meeting, and in that meeting just asked, hey, anyone on this app called Clubhouse? It's an iOS app at this time, I understand. And they said those who are interested in podcasting might be interested in this. And so I have an iOS, I have an Apple iPhone. So I said, sure, let's try this out. So right now it's invite only. But if you kind of think of kind of the shift and change of different tech tools, so, you know, kind of went from blogging to Twitter, and then we kind of went from website publishing photos to Instagram to YouTube to TikTok. All of these are giving more opportunities for others to create and their voices to be heard, and easier tools to participate in. So that's what Clubhouse is. If I understand it right, I just signed up. I haven't even tried it yet. But if I understand it, it's trying to bring that conversation in of podcasting and even engaging the audience where they can share as well. And you can have them moderate on topics and share different information. What have you heard of Clubhouse? I'm very new.
Yeah, I've heard a lot in talking about podcasts. A lot of our fellow edu podcasters are on it. Jeff Gargis from the Teach Better team, all over it. Christopher Nessie from House of Ed Tech. Tim Cavey from Teachers on Fire. So many, in fact, that I was like, do I need to buy an iOS device? So in the edu podcaster group that I'm a part of that has those amazing educators and others, I asked that question, like, how influential is this thing? Like, how dynamic and amazing is it? And while they agreed that it was amazing, they said, I think you'll be okay if you wait for it to come out on Android. So I'm hoping it comes out soon. Clubhouse has said, yes, we're working on it. Hopefully they don't lag too much, and hopefully it's not just some fad, and, you know, it's all the excitement's already done by the time I finally get on. I'm hoping there's still some of it there, but it looks very dynamic, engaging. I'm seeing companies like Dave Burgess company, EduMatch, doing things. A lot of educators are starting their own groups, so keep an eye out. I'm sure many of our listeners are already on Clubhouse. If you are, let us know. Give us your handle in there so we can be following and looking to chat with you soon. And let me know whether or not I should splurge and get an Apple device just to use Clubhouse. Of course, I'd be using it for iMovie too. iMovie is awesome. I like Final Cut. I want to get Logic Pro. So maybe there are some other things. Maybe I finally need to go to the dark side and dabble in Apple a little bit.
You know, with their M1 chip now and their laptops, really powerful, Scott. There's some
right
from Apple. So I'm still trying to wrap my head around Clubhouse. Is this something like Voxer is, or totally different?
Yeah. So Dr. Sarah Thomas from EduMatch, she told me it's like a mix of Voxer with like AIM, from back in the day, the AOL Messenger. So yeah. I remember being hooked in high school. You go to school, you come home, and you're typing away with all your friends. I remember I used to be a little quieter in school, but hey, when I got home after practice about 5 o'clock, that was the first thing, you know, I dialed up AOL with all the beeps and boops and all that. It would take 5-10 minutes. I'd get my dinner, scarf it down real quick, and then go to the computer so I could chat with all my buddies and recap the day's excitement. And I think it maintains a lot of that excitement. But okay. Then you can chime in and use the audio feature like Voxer, and you could set it up as like a facilitator where you call on people, and it could be a little bit like EDI, that direct instruction, and you're calling on people. It could be a panel style. That's most commonly how I've seen it opened up, which brings me to another tool that's like that, that they're really pushing for right now, Skilled Space. And Skilled Space is really trying to provide a hub for educators to get the help they need and to have those meaningful conversations in an audio format. So check out on Twitter all the things that Skilled Space are doing right now. They have some great educators on there chiming in. I'm chiming in, looking to maybe do some stuff next week with Skilled Space. So stay tuned with that. I may have my own Skilled Space chat and do a little live walkthrough. If you want to see a live walkthrough, what it looks like on the consumer side and also on the presenter side, which quick hint, it's the same thing. It's a pretty neat overlay that they have for their user interface. And it's cool. Like Clubhouse, it has like these small little circles or hubs, really, these spaces that you can talk about a particular issue or set of issues, and it can either be led by somebody, kind of like in this EDI setting, or it can be more like an ed camp. And I guess that's what Clubhouse is kind of like too. It's like an ed camp whenever you want, however you want, and you can jump from session to session. You want a session on ARVR? Go seek that out. You want one on student podcasting? They've got you. You want one where you just get some great advice from a team of educators? They have that too. Really, if you can dream it, it's out there. And if not, start your own and invite people to join your chat.
Wow, that's incredible. Is it Skilled with ED? Skilled?
Yeah, Skilled Space. Okay. And you can follow them on Twitter, all the socials at Skilled Space. So wow, check them out. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. It sounds really neat.
Yeah. So that's a cool little one. And I guess getting into our last little piece, talking about student engagement for all kind of teaching and learning models. What would you say are some key things that maybe people have heard of, but maybe they're still not leveraging or leveraging to their full potential?
Yeah, so I recently was hearing Pedro Nagaras, the dean of the University of Southern California, Rossier School of Education, and he was really sharing that engagement has three main areas of it. It's behavioral, students showing up and participating. It's cognitive, understanding what one is doing and making those connections. And it's emotional, and I think this was one that helping students to find it's meaningful, bringing that intrinsic desire to learn and curiosity to learn, I think is huge. And some of those strategies include 21st century learning strategies, which, you know, the four C's are really important, the communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity, but also project-based learning, which I know you have a lot to share in that area, Scott, but really bringing in that authentic, real world challenges and projects, the student voice, even having them go in the, I love the idea of project-based learning, that public product, that and the reflection of those products, and then design thinking, you know, instilling those skills as well with students. it's really trying to find the interest of the student and bringing their own enjoyment, discovery, exploring with that learning goal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think if you start with UDL, so universal design learning, and backwards thinking, backwards planning, where you start with the standard in mind, you start with something really small and tangible that you're already doing, and then you just think about, okay, what is the best way to do that? And you bring in some tools to do that. And then I think a great way to do this is to keep it small when you're first starting, offer some simple choice, you know, like 1 to 3 choices, and then expand as you're getting better to like a choice board, and then have it be a little more like inquiry led, have it be a little more open-ended, and have a rubric. And you could start out with single point rubrics to multi-point rubrics, not going too crazy, not going more than like 5. 5's kind of pushing it. Sometimes yeah. You could do a 7-point rubric, depending on what it is, right? If things are like really like light, like for example, if I did a 7-point rubric, a couple of them one would be like design, another one would be like professionalism, or just having like one type of document done. So one thing I would do would be students would design a game. So they would have to have game elements. That would be 1 point. You know, how professional is it? Do they have a creative brief? I would go over what a creative brief is. You know, do they have a business plan to market this item? How would they market it? Who would they go to? What's their target audience, right? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. And so, you know, but keeping it simple is the best way to start. And then once you get a feel for it, you can expand. And with the larger rubrics too, and as you're expanding, bring students into the mix. The best rubrics are the ones that are student and teacher created.
Love that idea. Love that idea. I love that they're participating, helping to create it. And then it just gives them a better idea of what the expectations are and the outcomes.
Shout out to our friend Mel over in Colombia. Greetings. Matthew has a billboard of you guys. Yes. And you know what the big bummer is about this? And I don't think we've talked about this yet, yeah. Matthew. We already need a new one.
I know.
Because right after we got this done, we both got promoted. So I'm no longer a teacher. He's no longer a tech coach. So we spent all this money on these promotional items. You know, and we need new ones.
This could be a raffle one day when we get a new one.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. It still works. I like it. I love it as a background. That's perfect.
We should get Velcro. Little Velcro labels.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Get Velcro or a magnet or something. Yeah. And just replace it next time Sticker Mule has a sale on stickers. We'll have to do that and get some magnetic ones.
That'd be awesome.
And then Mel says, or you could just write over it.
Well, yeah, leave that up to someone with better penmanship than mine.
Yes No, I got distracted by that. We were talking about PBL student-led rubrics. So
oh yeah, you're just having the students work with them, creating them
in class. Yeah, Dr. Eddie Gonzalez does that with his students and recommends that. And he really brings PBL and STEM to all levels. And what he does, he takes it a step further. And I want people in the audience to think about this. Think about having student-led professional development for teachers. So what that would look like is students taking something they're doing, like a PBL, STEM, some kind of assignment they really like, right? Like anti-worksheet kind of stuff. I'm not knocking on folks that use the worksheets, but the memorable items in school tend to not be worksheets. I can't think of a worksheet that I loved. It was always some kind of project. And I think many people would agree with that. Doesn't mean learning can't take place in a worksheet, but I think that memorable learning, and that kind of learning that we really need right now when you're competing with exciting things like video games and YouTube. It really needs to be this big, extravagant thing. And it's okay if it takes you a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the things I would remember are the things that I got to create or show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I could tell, definitely. I don't remember a worksheet per se.
Yeah, yeah. So with showing that, you have the students show what they've done and show teachers how to do that in their own classroom. So could be something like this item. So he was showing how his kiddos took 3D scans of a room and put it in a sketch fab. Well, this item is a snowman that a Texas educator scanned in to ARVR, sent over to me, and I 3D printed it. So it's not perfect, right? It's not white, obviously. I went with the gray, but it has the three spheres, and then this guy, he's wearing a ball cap right here. So that's okay. The bottom of the ball cap. He's keeping a little gangster there, going backwards with the ball cap there. You could totally do that, or maybe students will show how you could take some of your favorite characters, like Thanos over here, from the Marvel series, kind of get those models from a video, a picture, and then you could print them in, move them out of the physical space, back in the virtual space. Really, the sky's the limit, and students are excellent at ideating and constructing. So if you give them that time to explore and give them that opportunity to share, they're going to wow you. And
the teacher doesn't have to know how to do it all. The students just have this real natural collaboration and sharing and showing each other and supporting each other through those projects.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about the four C's, or like our friends Becky Keene and Kathy Krasnowski talked about, the seven C's, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Just going beyond really what we think is possible. You could create very engaging environments in Minecraft. That's one that I'm going to be exploring more and showing off a little bit more. There's so many things. Think about all the cool things we already do, Matthew,
yeah,
in our teacher trainings and with our student work with EduProtocols. What if we had a Minecraft sketch and tell?
Oh my goodness, that's fantastic. All right.
It's coming. I'm working on it. It's not here yet.
We're doing just a small pilot right now of Minecraft's on Chromebooks now. And so we're doing a small pilot of that. But the teachers that are doing it, they are telling me within 2 days of having Minecraft turned on, they have already seen higher engagement, interest, and a different level from their students excited about learning again.
Yes. I had, so my first big experience was in one of these PBLs, and I offered students the ability to, and I actually wasn't okay with it, but talk about student-led rubrics.
Okay.
I had on there just a traditional board game, and I got a request from several students, can we do a video game? And I said, nah, how are you going to do it? You got to sell me on it, right? You know, how am I going to get this approved? How am I going to tie it into the standards? And they said, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this. I'm like, okay, as long as we can agree to these terms, you can do a virtual game. You know it's going to be more work for you, right? They're like, yes, but we want to showcase our skills in this format. It's something we're very familiar with. It'll actually be the same amount of time or less time for us because we already know this, and it'll be super cool. And it was, they recreated the setting of a novel and had 25 questions and answers that they put on poster boards in Minecraft. So poster boards are these little boards you can put in, and one side is the question and on the other side is the answer. And they used redstone to power this little roller coaster, and you go through and you can stop in. It's a little Q&A reflection. Shout out to Barbara, student voice, student choice, and agency. Yes, yes. Giving them the tools that are there, giving them that access, especially when they request it, right? And giving them that student choice. And it's going to be overwhelming if educators, especially if you're newer, if you tried all of this, right out the gate. So start small, start with the this or that. I know it may not be, you know, like it's the presentation worthy to do like a this or that option, but it's a good way to prep your students and to prepare the parents. When I first started rolling out PBL student choice options, they were like, where are the worksheets? And I would check with, you know, some of the people in my PLN, and they said, actually, that's common in the beginning if you don't have that culture already established. And so also let your parents know, hey, I'm going to try this, and then lower the barriers to entry and don't make some of these entry level student choice options worth points or worth many points. Make it very explorative and then have them even ideate with you. What are some good student choice options? You can offer up some, but then maybe they choose from that. And that's where a choice board is really nice, either a tic-tac-toe style choice board or just like a standard one or like a bingo style. There's a bunch of different ones. And Edu Protocols, Iron Chef, is kind of like a interactive choice board. It really is. And it's very guided.
Yeah, no, that's really great.
Yeah. And talking about those ideas and our PLN and how they really influenced us on that, I want to close with the power of the PLN. Do you want to share out how you leverage our local PLN? So I know I talk a lot about kind of this global PLN. We got Mel joining us all the way from Colombia, and she's international. She's originally from Australia, and I'm going to mess it up. I think she taught in Thailand. You got to correct me, Mel, if you're still tuning in before Colombia. But how do you engage and, you know, share and extract info that you need from your local PLN?
Yeah, I'm like, you do that really well, Scott. You're my role model. This is the area, if I had like a personal goal or area that I would like to do better in, is this area.
I was wrong. Sorry. Taiwan. wrong T. Definitely different countries. Taiwan's pretty cool. I want to go. I have some Taiwanese friends.
So as a tech coach, I think one valuable place for me was the a teacher break room
of all places. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was a great place. Very open for people just to share ideas, to ask questions, to find out how they really are doing, what was working, what wasn't, what are they needing. So I thought that was a great place. And then I really like that we have the Q in California, Computer Using Educators. It used to be called, but just Q, the nonprofit. And they have affiliates throughout California. And we're in an affiliate, I think, about 5 different counties. And those affiliates offer, barbecues at one time before COVID, or coffee queues. Yeah. And now Zoom queues or meetups, monthly meetups or quarterly meetups. I think those are really useful. Also, even with our tech tools, a lot of them will have like an ambassadors group or a circle group that you can lean on as well for ideas and questions and sharing.
I'm going to pause you for a moment. We have a question in the chat with what we're talking about. So they missed the question. We're talking about the power of the PLN, Matthew sharing out specifically about our local PLN. Like, how would you do that where you are? So like at the building level, district level, community level, maybe like statewide level.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also having a technology committee at our district level that we're bringing in different stakeholders. And I think that's important too in that PLN, especially having a diverse group that has different ideas and coming from different experiences and backgrounds really does help a lot. Cause I can only see or know what I know, and having other thoughts and ideas in there really helps. But areas I would like to, I need to go back to Twitter, Scott. I have, you just told me about I love the question that you had in Twitter about the $300. What would you do with it? I need to get more involved in the social medias. And because there's, I mean, you can speak onto this next, but there's just a wealth of information in those areas as well. And you can connect right now virtually.
Yeah. You know, I want to transition that to, want to get Mel's comment here, saying her local people use the WhatsApp to connect and chat, and we meet once a week. Yes, you gotta meet. And I was reading some articles saying that, especially for men, they need to meet twice a week. Wow. with their peers. So the data was kind of old. It was from 2014, so I don't know, you know, how accurate that is. That was something I wanted to follow up on, but it made me think, like, that's one thing I'm really missing right now. Yeah, I'm with Mel. Outside of that, Twitter's my jam, and has become even more my jam right now because we don't have those face-to-face items. And I'm feeling like I struggle personally with the local PLN to get those in person connections, not because they can't be in person. So I guess like digital connections, or like you and I had talked about going to the local coffee shop, driving up through the drive through, getting our coffee and parking like 6 feet apart and talking through the window kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that still hasn't happened. Right. It's hard. It's hard. And we're so busy. And I think there's, you know, a lot of burnout. We talked about that a little bit. There's a lot of stressors. People are getting sick, or we know of somebody. There's stuff like what's going on in Texas affecting us. Even if it's not us directly, it's our friends, it's our family. We genuinely care about our PLN. I can't tell you how many times somebody from my PLN has stuck out their neck for me and helped me out with something or provided me with a great opportunity. And I try and do the same because I've learned that, you know, I've kind of been given without cost and received without cost. So I try to give back without cost and offer up as much free stuff as I can. And the podcast being part of that, I love to receive, but I also love to give. And doing that through Twitter is great, right? You know, I tell the story all the time, right? I started with like 8 followers the summer of 2018, and I picked up 6 from ISTE, and you were one of them.
Right.
And I think 2 of the followers were, I think one was my brother and one was an old coworker. So, yeah, just I got Twitter to join in on a conference with Ernie Hudson.
Right? You had a challenge too that you're.
Yeah. They presented me with the challenge there in 2018. But when I first started, it was 2016. Okay. And I participated for a little bit during this conference. And then just nothing happened, right? The relationships didn't blossom. Nothing really happened. It was just me kind of chatting. I wasn't intentional about it. It was just to try and win a prize, essentially, and participate for that conference only. And then what changed was Schoology Next, like learning to leverage the PLN to continue to grow and get that professional development. And it's from there that we met the guys from On Education. You got Glenn Irvin and Mike Washburn. And then we went to the Q conference in the fall of 2018, met Tara Martin, Tisha Richmond, Jen Burtis, John Carrippo, so many other people in person, Kyle Anderson, right, from Sons of Technology. And those relationships really grew. They were already kind of blossoming. I went back. I don't know if I shared this. Dave Burgess was actually one of my first followers, probably in the top 100. Yeah. So shout out to Dave Burgess. And he's got a ton of followers. So
And so many of them have even been guests on our podcast.
Yeah, yeah, there's still room. We haven't had on Jen Burtis, so she's an Edu Ninja. She's got a book out called Edu Ninja Mindset.
The Edu Ninja.
I mean, yeah. Oh, she's amazing, and we've been on calls during this time. You know, I got to reach out. It's hard to keep in contact with everyone, but we chatted for a bit. We were on a call together, and I had my family there, and we were going for a drive in the country, and she got to see all my kids, and you know, the family's waving to her and everybody else on the call. It was really neat, and she got to have her parents on the call. You're able to really build these real relationships even though you may have never met that person face to face. So don't discount that. I equate it to like what it must have been like when you had a pen pal back in the day, right? Or you had some family overseas and you had these tight bonds, but you weren't able to be there physically. I think about my family over in the Azores, like, wow, we only corresponded via phone and via letters all these years. And then when my family went back to visit, we're getting invited into households every night. Hey, come have dinner with us. And we've never met these people, but they knew my grandfather because he was a sheriff or a policeman in town. And, you know, they're like a long lost family member.
Yeah.
Mel saying local PLN, they don't share much, whether in person or not. Yeah, that does happen. So I wonder what tips people have to kind of get out of those silos. I think going to Twitter and bringing that into your local community, even if the answer isn't a yes or I'm on board, you'll find that they use those ideas. You'll see it if you just share it without like any expectation and without too much pushing. You just share and let it go. It plants a seed, and over time that seed grows. And yes, I did say pen pal.
I like what you said. You know, you just start, you give, you share a bit, and like you said, just planting those seeds, and you'll be surprised, you know, over time, like others will start to, hey, you know what, I tried this, or I have this question now, or hey, this is what I'm trying out.
Oh, Matthew, we got somebody joining the chat. Do you know this rolling fella?
I do.
It's become a family affair now. It's official. Yeah. Like if you share, Mel saying, it's like they think you want something back from it. Yeah, and I think you have to just continuously share, and haters are going to hate. Right? You're going to get some shade thrown your way, as the cool kids might say. But you have to endure. It's this patient endurance that kind of wins the day and kind of wins things over. It's definitely an upstream battle to change culture, to change mindsets. But like Jeff Kubiak says in his children's book, only takes one drop of kindness. So shout out, he's a couple hours north of us in the Davis area. Mel's also saying she was sharing at the start and then learned about the culture. You could be that change, right? Gandhi is quoted as saying, be the change you wish to see. And so if you live it and you embody that change, you'll bring it about. You'll essentially will it into existence. Others have said similar things. Walt Disney, if you can dream it, you can do it. Lady Gaga talks about that, you know, for a pop culture figure, right? She essentially willed her stardom. She'll talk about it. She wanted it so bad, she just believed it was true, and eventually it happened. Now, it doesn't always happen like that, or maybe to the fullest extent we want, but I'll tell you what, hard work and endurance and patience go a long way, especially when you throw in some being at the right place at the right time and knowing the right people. And that's where having opportunities come your way from your PLN is so powerful, and not just receiving, but giving back. So you can start by receiving, but I encourage you, if you've been receiving for a while, don't only share it out with your local PLN, put your own spin on it. Show how you're using whatever ideas that you're getting. Like I did that with a lot of Matt Miller's ideas and Alice Killer's ideas. And then eventually Matt said, hey, can you do a guest blog? And I did one. It's actually my pinned tweet. So if you haven't checked it out yet, I offer some 7 tips on how to engage students, and all that stuff is stuff you could be doing right now, no matter your learning model. Anything to add as we close, Matthew?
No, I just think, you know, with the internet and the social PLNs, you're going to find a group that has similar interests. And I think that's also, you know, talking about the local, but also a larger tool that you can use to find your peeps.
Find your tribe and, you know, invest in that tribe. And let's say that tribe isn't your local tribe, right? I'll be honest. Our local PLN really helps, but I didn't feel like I necessarily was being fed enough by my site PLN. And there are some great people there, don't get me wrong, but they were kind of stuck in a bubble. And I think they would agree. I don't mean that in any insulting way at all. They were just very content with what they were doing. What they were doing works, and it works well. They're all very good, experienced teachers, but I think they didn't want to go outside the box and leverage some of these ed tech options. It was a little too risky for them, whereas I was a little bit newer, a little more fearless, or crazy, probably crazy is a better word. Maybe that's why I'm a member of the crazy PLN. And I went right into it and was willing to fail. And it's hard, right? You need that culture to support you. But if it's not there, you need to find your tribe so they can support you. And if you're not in a place where you can thrive right now, you know, jobs are opening up. Maybe, you know, February, March is the time you start looking for a new place to thrive.
Thank you for sharing, Scott.
Yeah. And you want to take us out, Matthew? You want to drop the socials?
Sure. Let's see if I remember them all. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the TNT EdTech Podcast. You can find Scott Nunes on Twitter at Mr. Nunes Teach. You can find myself on Twitter, and I should be there soon. Get back to it. But I am at Matt EdTech Coach. And then you can even follow the TNT EdTech Podcast. We're on Twitter at TNT EdTech. And our website, what is it, Scott?
www.tntedtech.com.
Sweet.
Thanks, everyone. We appreciate you. Thanks for spending your evening with us, or if you're on the other side of the world, your day.
Thank you for listening to the TNT EdTech Podcast. You can follow us on any podcast player of your choice. Also on Twitter at TNT EdTech. Follow us on the web at www.tntedtech.com.